What's popping, people? It's a special day at the podcast, and here to enjoy it are Mark from Berkeley, Brandon from Rochester, Jay from Plymouth, I'm Drew from Ferndale, and this is Drew and Mike Podcast, broadcasting tonight on four microphones.
Wow.
Yes, mic four is hooked up, and my mic is, am I on the new mic? My mic sounds different today. It sounds really good, I think. I mean, not that it doesn't usually sound good.
That's just because you're on it.
I don't know. Something sounds a little better.
It sounds the
same. Probably does. Probably psychological. Anyway, we can now accommodate two guests.
Wow.
And an accommodation we did not previously have.
When are we getting the fifth mic?
We do need a fifth mic.
We do? Actually,
yeah, we kind of do.
And then a sixth?
I think five would do it.
That sound pretty sweet if we had eight mics in here all turned up at the same time.
Yeah, with nice with hollow. Six of the eight people talking at once. Five's fine. Five would be nice. But these aren't cheap mics. They're the top of the line.
Yeah,
they're solid. Probably why this podcast sounds as good as it does. One of the reasons.
That's not any of that engineering or anything.
No, the engineering is certainly a factor. And we've had some debates about quality versus, volume.
Size, file size.
Exactly.
Yep.
And quality usually wins out.
It should.
We've reduced quality to make the file size a little more reasonable a couple times, but not that much. Anyway,
was that real?
Yeah.
Mag just ripped a big fart.
Matt? Oh.
What?
Wait. In other words, someone else did or
no? Mags? No. Mags really did.
No, really?
You can hear it. Just went.
Mags, are you serious? Boy, it's his first appearance down here in weeks.
He's been saving it up.
As soon as the mic's turned on.
Wow.
That a boy, Mags.
That was loud.
He's had a couple extra treats today.
Oh, great. So have I.
Where to start? You know what? I wanted to quickly mention that the Lions. It's funny. I heard they had re-upped Caldwell, so I thought,
oh, really?
Yeah, well, that's sort of the way it was teased, or I took it in that way, because why would you be talking about his contract and something positive if he didn't have a couple years added? But essentially, all they did was announce that he's returning for the last year of his contract.
Yeah, the announcement is he's not being fired. That's really all the announcement is.
You know, I don't think he's the greatest coach in the world, but for some reason, the players are responding to him. They like him. They're playing well for him.
He's made playoffs 2 out of 3 years. I'm not nuts about him, but in such a results-oriented business, he's gotten to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years.
It's
a very lackluster roster this year.
It's embarrassing to say he has the best record of any modern-era Lions coach in his first 3 years and is the only one to go to the playoffs twice in his first 3 years. So how could he not get a couple years tacked on?
Well, let's see what happens next year. Maybe Quinn even knows that it's kind of a fluke.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Exactly.
I just don't think it's really a fluke. I think the players have responded to him. I don't think there's any.
You don't think this year is a little fluky?
Well, you know, Stafford rallied them.
9-17.
I think they beat the teams they were supposed to beat, pretty much. And they did it in, you know, late with a little fourth quarter flair.
Yeah. But
Stafford's a good fourth quarter quarterback. He is a good comeback guy.
Well, like I say, I don't know how you argue with the results.
No.
I don't think where the team is, he should be granted an extension, but
I don't know. I feel like he should get at least a year or something. To just bring him back like Osmus.
Yeah, well, he's got a year left in the contract, and like he said himself that he's ever since 1978, he's worked on a year-to-year basis. That's his way of putting a nice shine on it.
Status? I'm trying to remember where he is in his contract. Did he just?
I thought he was just back for one more year. Is the final year of his contract, isn't it? Or was that last year?
I was thinking last year that's what he did. Which would have meant that to come back, he would have had to sign a new.
I think they exercised the 2017 option.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is just the last year.
Okay.
So it's kind of a lame duck.
Yeah, same deal, pretty much. And they've done almost nothing. except for giving away Cameron Maben for nothing.
Yeah.
$10 million, 315 hitter in center field. I just couldn't, I could not believe there wasn't more for him, but anyway, I don't get into all that. Did you see Devin Hester sign with Seattle, by the way, to return kicks?
Yeah, because Lockett's injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. We do have a propensity to kick to him. Doesn't seem like the Lions have always loved to just kick the ball to Devin Hester.
No doubt about it.
Every other team in the NFL kicks away from him, but we like to punt right to him or kick off right to him.
And I don't know what, you know, Hester hasn't played this year at all, right?
No.
I mean, he hasn't been on a roster. Did he retire after last season?
No, I thought, God, was he last with Baltimore and Baltimore cut him?
Let's see.
He's just another body because it's kind of hard to pick up bodies right
Hester
now.
Hester was released by the Ravens last month.
There you go. Okay, so last month.
Okay.
I'm not terribly worried about it.
No, I mean, I would assume he's lost a step or something.
Well, we really haven't been burnt by punt returns this year, have we?
No, and we've had some good punt returns of our own.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Roberts has done a nice job.
He was back at practice today.
Roberts,
yeah.
He's okay.
But considering how good Sam Martin's been punting the ball, big deal. I think it's just a nice name that Seattle picked up, so everyone's like, ooh, heads up.
That's funny, Sam Martin. You really latched on to him early on, and he's become quite the
He's punter, great, man. He's except really for the Cincinnati something. Game.
Well, I just liked him because he was Hank's buddy, but he is really a hell of a punter.
I thought he was underrated.
Definitely.
My favorite player on the team, besides Theo.
But, you know, while we're on the sports thing, the best sports story going is this Kiffin story in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. did you see the SI interview?
No, I did not.
Oh, dick. I'll see if I can find it.
Saban?
No, Kiffin. Kiffin.
Okay.
Kiffin's a way bigger dick.
Well, they're really competing in this case because Saban is pulling his usual, there's nothing to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to have him for the semifinal game and he's letting him go for the championship, correct?
Yeah, no, Kiffin's done. It's Sarkisian.
Not Kiffin's call.
No. Well, it sounded like, at least the excuse that I heard Lane Kiffin say on Feinbaum's show is that, you know, they have a week to prepare for the championship, and it's just too much for him to do with his new job and to prepare. In other words, he was just trying to do stuff. But then you hear that he was late for meetings, and he was late for appointments.
That's just complete bullshit. That sucks. How could you do that to a team in a national championship game? You're under contract. I know you have a new job, but that's beyond insane how irresponsible that is.
Isn't this precisely why coaches that leave don't coach the team they were at? Coordinators that leave or other coaches that change
schools? Pretty much, but there are guys who feel strongly about staying in coaching, which I think is only right.
Yeah, but is that fair to your new employer that's hiring you? Don't take the job then.
I think when you take a new job, you should say, I've got a job to finish. And if somebody doesn't understand that or respect that, then I think they're an asshole. Because you're talking about like a 5-year contract or a 4-year contract when you take a new deal.
Yeah.
They can't give you 2 weeks or 3 weeks to finish something. You know, basically a kind of a verbal contract you have with your players. And you know, in most cases, it probably doesn't matter if it's decided up front. But for this guy, with a week, 1 week before the championship game, they're bringing in a new guy?
Yeah,
that's insane.
Sark has been there all year.
What was his position all year?
Offensive advisor. It's one of those. He's not an official coach because you can only have so many coaches. So teams load up on, you know, what they call advisors now.
Yeah. I think it's a little Weasley. Strange. You just don't want to change things at this point in for the championship game. I mean, Kiffin had to be so completely irresponsible to allow this to happen.
Well, shouldn't Saban have kind of? It seemed like when he brought Sarkisian on through the year, because remember this. For those that don't remember, Steve Sarkisian had to leave USC because he was a drunk,
right?
And he was a serious alcoholic, had to go to rehab and everything. So then this year, nobody hired him to be a coach this year, and he started on Fox Sports as an analyst. And then after about a month, they hired him at Alabama. And I got to believe Saban knew that Kiffin was at the end of the run there, whether he was going to get another job or he's just going to get rid of him. So he brought somebody in that understood that offense. So isn't it kind of Saban, not his fault, but shouldn't he have had the foresight to say once he got the Florida Atlantic job to say bye-bye?
Well, it depends on what the conversation was. If Kiffin said, hey, look, you know, I know we're going to be in the playoffs. I want to get the job done.
Look at his track record. He's a liar.
Well, Saban hired him. He's the one that brought him there. I mean, he had done a good job. I guess he was believed to have done a good job up to that point.
He's reaped the benefits and, you know, has to put up with the risks now.
But, yeah, he in the end, you know, as this story continues, he leaves adding really another black mark. I mean, he appears to be the complete prick he's always been. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why there is such an incessant belief in his talent. Because Alabama, I'm sorry, I don't care who is the offensive coordinator, Alabama wins. Alabama's in fine shape with or without this Putz. His coaching jobs, the Raiders, terrible.
Yeah.
Tennessee, boy, horse shit.
Awful, awful head coach.
And the third job was the
USC
job.
Yeah, fired on the tarmac.
So he's really... You know, I don't understand why he keeps getting these jobs. Although this job is not that. What's the job? Central Florida?
Florida Atlantic.
What's that?
Isn't that where Schnellenberg coached? There's a Florida Atlantic and there's Florida International. They're both. Florida Atlantic,
I mean, it's not a
Boca
big
Raton.
Job.
No, Sun Belt Conference. It's like an Eastern Michigan type school of that repute.
I hope he falls on his ass. He's an asshole. Really is.
Let's see.
How could you do that to your players?
This is from SI. Pete Thamel.
Cock.
Went with Lane Kiffin to go house shopping in Boca Raton.
Who went with him?
SI.
Oh.
Pete Thamel. The two talked a lot about how the 41-year-old Kiffin's newfound maturity. And Kiffin.
Oh, yeah. He's so mature. Fucking over his team.
Lane Kiffin liberally deployed the third person when talking about himself.
Oh, please.
He's figured out that having an ex-wife is a good way to get people to hate him. Which, by the way, Layla was hot as hell. Remember his wife?
Wait, he and his wife split up?
Oh, yeah. Maybe a year
ago. Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the only things he really had going for him. That girl was gorgeous.
Samuel writes, Kiffin is captivated by the Kiffin factor. Quote, there's this age thing about me being so young. And I think there was something about Layla being so attractive, he says. There's something in there to where it became, okay, we don't like him. So he thinks people don't like him because he's young and because he had a hot wife.
And because he's so hot. Because you know he thinks he's hot.
Of course. No, people don't like you because you've just left. You left Tennessee in the lurch. You are kind of a dick the way you treat people.
He did a terrible job. He's done a lousy job in his three head coaching jobs. Lousy, losing head coaches are not popular people. I don't care what they look like. He apparently thinks he's so hot that he can overcome losing by still being liked. I mean, he can still be liked even though he's a losing coach because he's so hot and he has a hot wife.
Let's see. Yeah, what a jerk.
I think there's some truth to that.
For a house, he needs something filled with light, glass, and located on the water for his boat and jet ski. His range is somewhere between $3 and $5 million. Oh, and he needs a pool. He definitely needs a pool. That's what it says.
The idea that this guy makes that kind of money? With a history of doing nothing but losing? It's really kind of amazing.
The first house he enters with a reporter is a giant fishing boat docked in the waterway out back. Kiffin has an affinity for tarpon fishing and ignores the nuances of the home to focus on the views of the water. This is my happiness, he says.
Oh, God.
Since beginning, okay, he spent the last three seasons with Saban, blah, blah, blah. Kiffin searched for a new job, new identity, new start may be best told through real estate transactions. After short stints at Tennessee and Oakland, Kiffin says he lost nearly $500,000 on each of the homes.
Oh.
Please, you're so overpaid. When he got the USC job, he rented Landon Donovan's old house, nearly rented a home for $25,000 per month and ended up in the Manhattan Beach home. He later sold to Vince Vaughn for $6.5 million.
Wait, I thought he said he rented it for $25,000 a month.
Nearly rented a home for $25,000 a month. Ended up with a Manhattan Beach home that he sold to Vince Vaughn. Kiffin got divorced earlier this year.
Say what he paid for the house? The Vince Vaughn house?
Paid.
Okay.
Kevin got divorced early this year, and his ex-wife, Layla, lives back in Manhattan Beach in a $10,000 per month rental home with their three children. Kevin's apartment in Tuscaloosa rents for $2,400 a month in a complex filled with students.
Oh, so he can bang, so he can get laid by students. Yeah, because he's so hot.
I'm very humbled, Lane Kiffin says. The football gods put me with Saban to see someone that never changes, no matter what the outcome of the game is. I think Saban's changed a lot over the years.
Saban.
Saban.
Saban. Saban.
Let me see. There's some other really good stuff in this. I didn't know we were going to get to today.
Yeah, it was front page USA Today Sports. Kiffin's story won't let go. Saban has to answer questions about AIDS exit and Nancy Armour.
While viewing waterfront properties, he strolled down memory lane with Lane's memory bending his career arc towards optimism. What has he learned along the way? I'm trying to be boring, he says before acknowledging he's not succeeding. He enters a $6.9 million estate and likes what he sees. He likes it too much. There's an infinity pool, giant windows, plenty of space to dock a boat out back. He walks upstairs and sees a giant second-story porch. That's my baby, he says. A catchphrase, friends say, is his trademark.
That's my baby.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I haven't heard anything about this house search. It would have something to do with his kids and making them happy.
No, of course not. Well, those are not
their
with
needs.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. He's also, he's in Florida. They're in California. He couldn't be an inch further away from them.
Bachelor pad.
Mm. Yeah.
He's wearing an.
I mean, honestly, when most people who have kids are buying a house, there's usually something, you know.
Kiffin's
kids like something about a new house, or, you know, you want a yard for them, or a little something.
Surprise, he wants to do this interview while going house hunting.
Well, he's obviously getting hard, showing SI how much money he's got to spend on this new crib.
He speaks with confidence and experience. I have a great story, he says. More Lane Kiffin stories. There he is, using third person.
Oh, God.
Oh, they bought the house. Wait, okay. The second house Lane and Layla rented in Manhattan Beach was built on a part of a hill tumbling towards the ocean where the sunlight disappeared earlier. Lane Kiffin hated this house. He loves light, craves it, relishes that extra hour of light so he can play with his three kids, Landry, Presley, and Knox. You think after
Landry, Tom Landry, Elvis Presley,
Chuck Knox,
or Knoxville?
Johnny Knox. Oh, it could be Knoxville.
Jesus.
I nicknamed it Green Bay because it was so dark. That prompted the Kiffins to buy the house they eventually sold to Vince Vaughn. Kiffins.
How dark can a house in California be?
In Manhattan Beach. Oh, his neighbors were the Duck Dynasty guys. Which he points out. Great neighbors. Ended up being our best friends.
Oh, I'm sure they love him.
Oh, wow. He pauses for a minute. He's been trying to be boring, reimagined, and remastered. He thinks out loud, should I tell my joke? He can't help himself. A classic Kiffin trait, and proceeds, quote, I used to say there's a constant daily battle between who can take more of my money, between Layla and Obama.
Oh, that's so funny.
He continues with a bit of fuzzy math. I figured it out. I really don't make any money. I pay around 52% in taxes. Layla gets 34.5% in the divorce. And Jimmy Sexton, my agent, gets 3%. I make about 9%. And I'm living in Tuscaloosa. He's taking a pay cut, by the way. 1.4 at Alabama. He's only going to make 950 at FAU.
So Layla's taking a pay cut then.
Yep.
And
so
Obama.
So is Obama. Wow. All right. Screw this guy. It's a good article. It's in SI. If anybody wants.
Yeah,
to
I want to read that. What a, oh, I just can't stand him. Such a jackass. I'm trying to think what other news headlines today. You know, because there's a serious issue, shallow thought involved, they didn't want to go back to the Ford story yesterday where they're not going to build the $1.5 billion joint in Mexico. Instead, they're going to spend $700 million on Flat Rock, which is great for
us. Yeah,
great for Michigan.
700 new jobs.
Good news. Yeah. Good story all around. Okay, the serious issue Shell thought is, does Mark Fields color his hair?
Mm-hmm. He absolutely does. Not only that, does he love his hair or what?
Oh, my God.
Anybody I think it's got like a 4-inch like ledge.
Yeah. I bet his hair's got its own Twitter. It must.
It not, will now.
It should start one.
Really, I think he might. Didn't he have some work done on his face, too?
He looks very, very young. Yeah, if he has not had, he probably gets, you know, Botox, fillers. Maybe he's had a lift. Maybe he's had a nip or tuck.
Man, his hair is wild. He almost has a mullet in some of these pictures.
The color is unnatural to me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look too dark?
Huh? It does look really dark. I'm trying to see if it matches with his eyebrows. Here's an older picture of him, same color hair.
I cannot be the only person who thinks this. Or we cannot. You thought the same thing, right?
Well, I didn't think it, but once you said it, I totally agree that he colors his hair.
While you're looking at pictures, another serious issue, shallow thought. Did you see the guy that got carjacked at 3 in the morning, and they made him take his pants off and his Jordan shoes? No, it was downtown.
No.
The guy in Southfield had a Mercedes Porsche. Carjacked.
Porsche.
Oh, Porsche. Was it a Porsche?
It was a Porsche, yeah. Okay.
And he was made to strip nude.
That's right.
They even wanted his underwear, apparently. Yeah. So gross. Can you imagine that, being nude and carjacked? What a drag. You're tooling around your Porsche feeling hot. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're nude without your wheels.
Your underwear on.
Oh, brother.
But by the way, that guy, he said that, he pled with him. I've got a daughter. And the guy with the shotgun says, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to kill you. At that point, you'd be like, all right, cool. Get back in your Porsche and take off.
Well, yeah. I mean,
if you want to believe a carjacker.
Might put a few bullets in your vehicle. Anyway, the guy in Detroit that was carjacked at like 3:10 in the morning, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? The black guy?
I don't know if I've seen
it. Got a mustache? It's a new story today. Anyway, the serious issue, shallow thought, is he's got 6 kids.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty young-looking guy.
Oh, boy.
Just seemed like an awful lot of kids for his age.
I wonder
how
old he is.
And I'm glad he made it through this. And he, of course, said he was praying about his kids. That was the reason he was, desperately hoping to come out of this thing alive. But he looks, I don't know, he could be in his upper 20s, I suppose. But it just seemed like a pile of kids for a guy that young.
No twins?
I don't know.
How many are of the same age anyway? Yeah. Not twins.
Right.
They've got to be like,
how many moms?
7, 6, 3, 4, 2, 1. I mean, they've got to be. Very young.
He's basically like...
if you look it up...
Cromartie. Antonio Cromartie.
Oh, yeah. I guess he could... He's not... it's not like he's 22 or 23. It's not like... what was the classic one? It was the guy... Remember the guy that was killed for looking at somebody the wrong way?
With the glasses?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And his buddy had the $500 glasses, and that's why he carried a weapon all the time. And he had 6 kids. He was 23. He went to prison, too.
You have 6 kids at 23.
Yeah, I'm sure he took great care of them. I'm sure he was responsible and needed no additional help to take care of those kids. And one of those kids ended up being killed in the raid.
Yeah.
It was that crazy story. But anyway, yeah, so the Fields thing, that was the serious issue, shallow thought. Then the guy with the 6 kids. And then I had one more. Oh, yeah, the sinkhole... In Frasier, they showed the people, and I was glad to hear that they're going to buy the homes from those people. The county is. That's the likely outcome, and certainly what those people deserve to come out of that thing whole, because they've been through a lot, especially the ones that lived there in 2004. Anyway, they were, for some reason, they were going in and out of the house today, and they were carrying things out.
Hmm.
So I guess it was determined that there was at least safe enough. Yeah, stable
enough.
Oh,
that's good.
And
It hasn't sunk anymore since it happened, right?
No, I don't think so. Anyway, one of the pictures that someone took out of the house was the same picture my mom had on her wall.
Oh, really?
Her home, and woman had the exact same picture. Oh. I can't even describe it, but it was just so weird. I mean, it's like, I've done that picture before.
That's hilarious.
My mom had that picture.
Do you deem it worth saving from the sinkhole house? Or?
Not terribly, no. I don't think it was really that valuable. I think they have better things to say, personally.
Maybe,
I would have let it go.
Maybe it was the last thing they took out of the house.
I don't think so. I really don't. Somebody like really likes it, apparently.
Like when Pee Wee Herman was saving the pet shop on fire, and he kept walking by the snakes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the last thing he took out.
What a great movie.
Oh, my God. It's the best.
Pee-wee.
That's a lot of serious issue shallow thoughts.
I love that story.
I know. Three of them all at once.
How is the county going to
more too?
How's the county going to pay for all these houses? Do they have the money to do it, or is there going to be a new bond or what?
It'll probably be a new tax. Yeah, I don't know. Candace Miller just took over, so
she's blowing people out on her first day. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know.
All of Morocco, Anthony Morocco's people.
Which, you know, I'm fine with that. They did nothing. Those a-holes, you know, who are at the end of their term. And, you know, that really pisses me off the way. First of all, I think it's ridiculous that people who are governors, senators, whatever, run for president. And so, wait a second. You're senator. You're being paid $170,000 with ridiculous benefits to represent half your state, basically. Mm-hmm. And you're running for another job, which occupies most of your time. I just think that's insane. How can that be? Shouldn't they have to give up their salary?
Yeah, you would think.
Or let someone else do the job? But, of course, we've learned that being a senator
Steph
or a representative,
does it anyway, yeah.
It's so simple. Your wife can do the job if you die or something happens to you. Or if it's your wife, if it's a woman's job, her husband can take it. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, think of that. Think of how many jobs that pay $175,000 a year, the spouse could step in and do the job almost immediately. I mean, honestly, there's very few.
Yeah.
Almost none. But, yeah, senator, representative, sure.
Hey, one of the people Candace Miller fired was Mark Steenberg, the former Warren mayor.
Oh, Mark Steenberg worked for...
Refresh, because we were down here earlier. I'm like, that name sounds incredibly familiar for some scandalous reason.
Okay, the mayor of Warren when before Fouts... And he got in a bunch of crap because he, his daughter got into a squabble, her and her friends got into a fight with some guys, and this guy, I think, he put his hands on his daughter's friend, got physical with his daughter's friend, and allegedly Steenberg arrived on the scene and called this guy the N-word.
And then
said, no, I said he was bigger.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's
right. Which was one of the great all-time comebacks, I thought. I mean, I gave him credit for that.
Well, he's still bopping around. He was the wastewater service manager.
Which, you know, is probably a six-figure job, I bet. I mean, the way these people float around and somehow go from six-figure job to six-figure job. There were a couple other misfires in the mayoral deal, by the way. And I'm glad you brought that up because it reminds me, what is going on with Jim Fouts?
Nah, nobody cares about Fouts anymore. That story's done.
You know, it sort of goes along with our theory. My nephew Joe and I talked about this at length. Joe works for Free Beer and Hot Wings. Doing great, too. He's full guy in the show now. Yeah. Anyway, Joe.
A little mad that your nephew Joey lost all that weight when he lost all the weight.
He fluctuates weight, doesn't he?
I think he's gained a little bit back.
Oh, he has?
You feel better.
Did he think he was hot for a while?
Big and small.
I don't think he thought he was hot.
he's a pretty humble guy. I almost called him a kid.
It's not like he went out and bought new clothes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I mean, got new hot clothes.
Oh, okay.
I think Joe's
pretty
humble.
He lost a lot of weight, man. That's good for him.
He's come a long... I mean, if you knew Joe when he was 16 or 17, he's come a long way. It's
good
a
dude.
Great, great, great story. It really is. And it hasn't gone to his head.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, it really all worked out well. But Joe is always saying that no story lasts a week. A week is the maximum. It's over. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the Fouts story is falling in that category. And how can that, of all stories, how can that guy not be blown out somehow? And, you know, people have offered to pay for a lie detector for him, and he will not take up the why won't he take the offer? If something's wrong with the recording, if it was made up or it was spliced together, then why doesn't he take a lie detector and prove it?
You know, the best thing for him is Christmas happened.
No, you're right.
Christmas happened.
The holidays were perfect timing for him.
Yeah. And now nobody remembers, nobody cares.
But
fire him, right?
I don't know. I don't understand. Why is it that when people are in these elected positions, somehow they can do almost anything, and there's no way to get rid of them
because they make the rules.
Look at how hard it was to get rid of Kwame. Yeah. Look how long that took. The governor had to get involved in this sort of, you know, this strange clause that she was able to exercise to immerse herself in that thing. But it seems like in so many positions, it's so obvious this guy has to go. and yet there seems to be nothing anyone can do. And I guess pressure would be on him to resign, and he doesn't seem like the resigning type.
No.
But it just pisses me off that somehow it's able to skate by that, oh, maybe he said it, maybe he didn't. No, he said it. Everyone knows it's his voice. He said, you know, I'm not usually crazy about this, you know, oh, someone said something wrong, someone said something politically correct, or even if it's beyond politically incorrect and just clearly offensive as hell, mm-hmm. and they're in a position, you know, I think a lot of times people deserve a second chance or the chance to apologize. This was not even forgivable. To attack disabled people in the way he did, they should be put in cages and really...
People he's supposed to represent, too.
Of course.
His constituents.
And implying that they're, you know, they're a waste of life or, you know, just these, like they're these horrible people or he's so inconvenienced by them. It just like, is sick.
If he worked for a private corporation, he would have been blown out.
Well, he did lose his radio gig. Ultimate
knock
punishment.
His volunteer radio
gig. You're going
to
get fired from this podcast. It would be like being fired from the podcast.
Yeah, it would be the equivalent for some. I mean, is this just going to float along? Is this going to go away?
Yeah, I don't
He's
know.
He's past it. I've been reading his Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's he saying?
You want to pop on there, Brandon, and tell us what he's talking about?
Well, he's very interested in the Alabama-Clemson game coming up.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah. What does he have to say about that?
Oh, he's surprised that Michigan lost to a much lower-ranked Florida State team. But his team, UNC, beat Florida State earlier this year. And UNC is no prize, you know? They lost to number 16 state. He just goes on about football.
Shut up.
And then
Virginia Tech.
And then earlier he's discussing how sad he was about Debbie Reynolds passing because he had a huge crush on her.
Oh, please. I know he thinks he's hot.
He's past this.
He probably thinks he should have nailed Debbie Reynolds. The guy had a 26-year-old girlfriend. He's 72, and he's ugly as fuck.
Got past that. Who does he look like? He looks like something
Spectre.
Or
he looks
somebody.
Like Phil Spector.
He does look a little bit like
without
Spectre.
The afro.
A little Larry King mixed in there.
Yeah, Larry King's not.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say Larry King would be the best of those. What else, Brandon? What else is on his mind?
Well, he wants everybody to know and warn that the garbage is going to be late this week. let's see.
And is he still talking about Hackle? For some reason, he doesn't seem to be so focused on that anymore because, oh, that reminds everyone about the tape that Hackle released of him demeaning disabled people.
You know,
isn't that funny that something that was so important to him suddenly isn't so important?
Since his big post that he got in some trouble over, or at least the outrage over, it's just been Merry Christmas, some football stuff. He talks about the sinkhole, Debbie Reynolds, garbage pickup, college football. And then he's very pleased with the many accomplishments of his administration, the staff, and the employees. They made great accomplishments in fire, police, and property maintenance. So he's patting himself on the back a little bit.
I'm trying to think, you know, I suppose if you said you didn't say something or you said it was electronically altered, he never really apologized, did he?
Mm-mm. It wasn't him. Said it wasn't him.
Right. Okay. So there would
said
be
it was
no,
fake,
there'd be
it
no
was
reason
phony.
To apologize.
Media's trying to take him down.
He's excited for Martin Luther King Day coming up on the 16th.
Oh, is he?
And then
why is he excited about that? Because he has the day off.
Well, they're gonna have a they're gonna celebrate it at the City Hall on Monday at noon. So if you want to be there, and then it's
as long
most
as you're
recent,
not disabled and you know,
causing havoc
and then his most recent, he's pumped about Ford. So you know. He's done with that. That's old news. That's last week's news. He's just moving on.
Yeah. No, clearly. But he really thinks he can get away with this, or he has gotten away with it, and it's just going to go to the moon. But I can't, for the life of me, I cannot believe this can go to the moon. All the things that I thought were kind of scummy, you know, that somebody, I don't know, maybe somebody you like, and they said something stupid, and you know, oh boy, you know, I wish they could survive that, because it's a little bit out of character, and nope, absolutely not. Gone, boom, broomed. And this, of all things, I cannot believe this can be escaped. It's just, it's so absolutely, did this story not go national enough? Is that part of the problem? It really is a local story,
isn't it? I don't think it went national at all.
Why didn't this story go national? He's the mayor of the third largest city in Michigan.
Probably because of the timing of what had happened.
How do we make the story go national? Maybe that would be for the story to get a new life.
Well, you know,
on a national level, because it is a national story, isn't it? Really,
I think so.
I think it is.
Warren's a big ass city. Isn't the second biggest city in the state?
Third. I just said.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
What a dick. Sorry.
I'm trying to think. What's the second biggest? Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids. Gotta be. But you know, 2, 4, and 7 did the story, and if it's not going to get picked up off there, it's not going to get any.
Usually, the network will pick up a local, you know, off the affiliate.
This is bound to be a affiliate to retarded people, and I don't want to be around them. I wish them well in a cage, but I think they have to keep them in diapers. I don't know. Maybe I think, really, you know, I can't. I don't dare say that publicly, but why bring? Like, right? Yeah, I see these old people pushing their retarded daughter around, and that. Why? What? For what reason? I don't know. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Jesus Christ! Shut up.
Why would anybody want to have that as part of their? I'm for Dr. Kevorkian, you know. This fantasy of meeting even if they're hookers and bringing them back to my place. Now maybe that won't happen, but that's what I fantasize.
What's he fantasizing about?
Yeah, what's this hooker part? I remember hearing the hooker part.
Did you catch that, Brandon?
No. I thought he mentioned bringing hookers back, but he wouldn't do that.
This fantasy of meeting even if they're hookers and bringing them back to my place. Now, maybe that won't happen, but that's what I fantasize.
I didn't hear that prior.
Never heard that before, that part.
God. Well, that's seemingly the only way that guy could ever get laid if he wasn't the mayor of Warren.
Well, or by giving somebody a massive raise.
And this is the guy who thought we were so outrageous that he blistered us to every class he had.
Yep.
He taught, I'm trying to think where he taught. He taught a high school class, and I'm not sure if it was a media class, but for some reason, he thought he should bring up our show to every class he had. I can't tell you how many emails we got over the years about, oh, I'm taking this class with Jim Fouts, the city councilman in Warren. He hates you guys.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks we're so horrible.
Does he think we should be in cages?
Probably
is that
worse.
A solution for everything?
Yeah. No, he just wanted us off the air, I think. I think he wanted us fired.
He said he was at Sterling Heights High School.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
That's right.
Now, wouldn't, was it Sam Riddle and that other reverend that were so upset with what Lauren Podell said and got
Well, you know, isn't that kind of disappointing?
Why don't they go after this?
Yeah, if they had all the power to get Lauren Podell blown out for one word, and I'm not saying it wasn't bad what Lauren said, but one word, and he was actually punished once. This guy's been punished not even one iota. Why don't they use their power?
I don't know, and you have the
something about this.
You have the residents that showed up at the city council meeting, basically saying get rid of this guy, and then it just disappears.
Because Fouts didn't say African American mentally disabled.
But there doesn't matter though; it's still
They're African Americans who are disabled though. He's basically saying put African Americans and everybody's paying for any.
That's what I'm saying. Their priorities aren't on, you know, fighting for that civil right.
You know, I would think that some organizations that represent the disabled would be putting on huge protests. What is going on
if
here?
The citizens in the actual city, if their complaints aren't being heard, then I don't know. You know, they need Bo Bice on the case.
Well, maybe there's somebody handicapped in Bo Bice's family.
Because he could get them fired.
Like I said, this needs to go national somehow. Somebody needs this story to go national. I'm not sure how that happens, but you know, sometimes that happens. Like the Rush Limbaugh story, how it had sort of a, well, that's not a good example.
Which
it was
one?
Always a national story. Well, I was thinking about the, it's actually not the right example. It had a big delayed reaction. He said something on Sunday about the Eagles quarterback.
Oh, Donovan McNabb on ESPN.
And the story just died for like 3 days. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, I don't know if the show was replayed or something, it came up all of a sudden on Thursday, Friday, somebody became appalled by it and started this big to-do. And next thing you know, he was resigning. So these things don't have to happen immediately. It's just the media arc needs to play out in some different way, obviously. I think this is a national story. I'm surprised somebody hasn't picked it up.
Well, I heard it's like the second or third largest city in the state, so.
Yes, it's the third largest.
Oh, okay.
Grand Rapids.
Hey, what exactly did Rush Limbaugh say about McNabb again? Do you remember?
That commentators gave him slack because he's a black quarterback, that they basically said he's better than he is because he's black.
That's funny. Did you see what Michael Bennett from the Seahawks said about Zach Zenner?
What did he say?
Just said he's a white running back. You don't see many of those. He's probably the best white running back out there. Which he's not the first off, he's not the best white running back in the league right now.
Who is the best white running back?
Rex Burkhead, former Nebraska running back. Remember Rex Burkhead? He plays for Cincinnati now.
Wow, I don't even know.
He's been on fire.
Did he have a good year?
But I just thought it was, huh?
He had a good year?
I thought he put up some numbers in the last couple games.
Why isn't there, I'm surprised white running backs don't somehow band together and protest their participation in that position in college and professional sports.
Well, what do you mean? Because there's not enough of them?
Aren't they playing more? I mean, the percentage of running backs, the percentage of whites in population is like 73%. The percentage of white running backs is, what, 5%?
They're not good enough. If there's one,
but everyone's equal.
If there's one place where they don't care about your ethnicity or color, it's on the football field. If you can help them win at any position, they'll use you.
There's got to be some kind of discrimination going on because we're equal. We're all the same. Clearly. Everything's the same. Bo Bice, yeah. I'm glad you brought up Bo Bice. What a weird story.
So funny to me.
Bo Bice went to Popeye's Chicken. And, you know, the funny first thing about the story is I'm thinking, Bo Bice likes Popeye's, huh? I mean, just, I just didn't picture Bo Bice going to Popeye's.
Popeye's rules,
man. Love
Popeye's. I'm not a Popeye's fan.
Really? Why? Too spicy?
I've only been there a couple times. Yeah, it was spicy. Yeah, I definitely remember that. I just prefer the Colonel.
Oh, okay.
In the event.
Well, you know, you got to like that Cajun New Orleans flavor.
Yeah, maybe they have a non-spicy that I'd like, but I just didn't have a good experience there the first couple times. So Bo Bice goes there, and you know the way I first read the story was that Bo was angry because...
You should say who Bo Bice is. For
Bo Bice, who... Did he win American Idol?
No, he was just a contestant. He was the Southern Rock contestant.
He was the runner-up.
He was a rocker.
Wow, but he didn't win.
There weren't many rockers back then. Who beat him? Was it that Putz... it was a pop singer, I think.
Carrie Underwood was in season
four.
Oh,
was Carrie Underwood in his season?
I think she was in the same season.
Oh, then she would have won.
She didn't win.
Oh, she didn't win. That's
early,
right.
Didn't
yeah,
she?
That's right. She didn't win.
Or maybe she did win. I don't know. Hell, who knows?
Wait, Carrie Underwood didn't win?
No, she won. She won. Jennifer Hudson's the one that got kicked off really
Oh, early. Yeah. She was fifth.
Yeah. Carrie Underwear won.
There were some real upsets and, I mean, some people that were definitely the better singers who did not win in that silly show. But
that was Constantine's season.
Oh, yeah.
Constantine was
six. That was a fun season. I still remember most of the people on that show.
Really? Do you remember Anwar Robinson?
I don't.
I want to say he was gay. I don't know why.
Who was that? Wait, was that the guy whose dad we called? Was he in that group?
No, that's Ace Young. I think.
Ace Young.
Do you remember Michaela Gordon?
Yeah, yes.
She's
yes.
really cute.
How about Nikki McKibbins?
No, she was season one, McKibbins.
It's Carrie.
Remember Anthony Fedorov?
Yeah.
Scott Savel. Remember Scott
yeah.
Savel?
Oh, yeah.
Chunky.
I remember a lot of those
it's
people.
It's really funny that these names.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, when those reality shows started, they were so big. They were just giant. Those people were immediate stars.
Oh, that's funny. Bo Bice.
Nikki McKibbins, what a serious white trash. Anyway, Bo Bice, the rocker, one of the few rockers in American Idol days. So we always kind of rooted for him a little bit.
He had that long hair.
Who was the other? There was another rocker in his season, wasn't there?
Well, Constantine.
Was there another one? Not Constantine?
If there was, I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe Constantine was the rocker, because he did rock sometimes.
I want to rock.
Although I think Constantine's biggest performance that blew everybody away when he was close to being booted was I Think I Love You, the Partridge Family, when he pulled that one off. Remember when he did his kicks to the camera?
Yes.
His leg kicks?
Yes.
He was big on looking directly into the camera, too.
He thought he was pretty hot.
Oh, he did. He was so in love with himself. And he was on, I just saw him on the Today Show.
Constantine Maroulis?
Yeah.
Really?
Like 2 weeks ago. He was singing in some celebrity Christmas caroling group that Ethan Hawke was in.
What?
And yeah, there were some kind of sort of famous people, and Constantine was one of them. But anyway.
That's random.
Bo Bice is, I know, it was very random.
Bo Bice
was at Popeye's. And apparently behind the scenes, you know, where they're making the food, he hears people going, bo, 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 making fun of his name.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was thinking, God, I'm shocked these people know Bo Bice. That's so weird. It's been a long time since he was on the show. And he's got his hair cut short, too.
He doesn't look anything like Bo Bice.
No. But I think, you know how they ask for your name when you get your order, like at Starbucks? I have a feeling that it was one of those deals.
Oh, and he said, it's Bo Bice, finalist from American Idol Season 4?
Yeah. It's a lot to write on a styrofoam cup, but yeah, they got it all in there. So they're doing bo 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 bo, and he's sort of taking note of it, getting annoyed. And then somebody apparently said, that the meal was that's for the white boy.
Yeah, call him a white boy.
And he didn't like that, and he didn't like it at all. And I don't know, did he demand an apology on the spot?
He said that's all he ever wanted was an apology. He posted about it.
Okay.
And then the last thing he put up was my post about the racist behavior. Really? Racist?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's...
judging him, but you're identifying him. A little different.
White boy for a 35-year-old man?
Well, I'm surprised he was
definitely a demeaning,
so upset about it.
I think it's a little much. He was crying on Fox 5 in Atlanta. You want to see if you can find Bo Bice talking about this on...
So what's the demeaning part?
I think it was
white
local,
or boy? So she says.
I think both. I think by identifying him by race and calling him boy, if somebody called someone black boy, they would certainly be offended as all hell.
Isn't that a little more rooted in the history of slavery?
Yeah, it is. But Bo Bice is not a boy. He's a man. It's just rude.
Well, he's the one that is calling it the racist behavior of Popeye's. He received over, this is a weird post, received over 45,000, reached 800 likes, 250 comments, and 350 shares in 27 hours. Facebook deleted my post last night and in turn silenced the opinion of all of you and me who are tired of the racist double standards that have infested our society.
Well,
all I wanted was an apology. Now Popeyes will be hearing from my attorney. And to all you Facebook fans of mine, I will be deleting this communist media platform from my devices and life.
Wait, why was he deleted from Facebook?
They took it down for some reason. I don't know why.
That's ridiculous. I think he had a point. I mean, he's a little butthurt for...
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Circumstances, but...
incredibly... I don't know. I think this is one of the most...
Bye-bye.
Immature overreactions I've ever seen.
It's certainly overblown, and when I saw him on Fox 5, that's when I really sort of felt Bo Bice.
See, I saw that appearance before I read anything about it.
I'm with him, though, on saying the double standard, because calling somebody white boy is... I think there's a race element. I think there's a race element there.
So what?
Well, so what is... Yeah, well, so what if somebody calls somebody black boy? So what?
I think
you could say it either way. I think it's a little different, but I think he was doing an apology.
Is that okay? American Idol finalist goes on social media to complain about racial comments made about him at a Popeye's Chicken at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport.
In the past hour, we learned that the store owner has suspended the worker who made those remarks. Fox 5's Natalie Fultz talked to Bo Bice today at his home, who says he's upset about what happened.
A father?
Here's a lollipop for you, princess.
A husband?
Good job, baby bud.
But not a racist.
I'm not a bigot.
No one's calling you a bigot.
I love everyone.
That's why musician Bo Bice says
he
was
this girl
stunned
that worked at
last
Popeyes.
Friday when
love
an
her.
Employee at Popeye's
I'll blame him.
Chicken in
they did the interview in his studio.
I know. It's a little lame.
He's got to have an album coming out, right?
Behind the corner said,
Does he?
He's already got his. That white boy over there.
Oh, the former American Idol contestant says all he wanted was an apology, but he didn't get it from corporate, so he went to social media to share what happened.
I don't care if you're Bo Bice, Bo Jackson, or Bo Diddley. When you're walking through that airport, you should be treated the same. And when you've given your money to an establishment, you should be treated the same as anybody.
A double standard? Bice thinks so.
If the tables had been turned and I had used something and been as insensitive as to say something like that, you're talking about that I would be boycotted. There would be people not buying my albums. There would be people
totally different
picking in at my shows and everything else.
Tuesday, we reached out to Popeyes about the incident. Mac 2 Incorporated, which owns the airport franchise, released this statement saying, quote, Mac 2 Incorporated is very sorry that the incident occurred and for any pain or embarrassment that Mr. Bice experienced. The company does not condone the behavior of one of our associates, and we took corrective action as soon as we were made aware of the incident.
That's all I want is an apology.
An emotional Bice says the issue goes much farther than this particular incident.
This is crazy.
And the fact that I've got to sit on TV, come down a notch, and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this.
You don't have to.
Just
to
open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation is ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
Looks right
in
into the
Covington, Natalie Foltz, Fox 5 News.
What's America got to do with this?
He doesn't have to do the interview.
Well, he certainly pushed this as far as he could. But I do say, if they called every male who's, how old is he? Was he 40 years old?
Probably.
If they... Every male in there was called white boy, who's 40 years old or 50 years old or 35 years old. They'd lose a lot of customers.
Of course.
It's rude. It's bullshit.
Of course, but and, God forbid they called Bo Bice one.
And I think...
I'll say it right to the camera. Stop it.
When he references the double standard, that is one of the biggest problems, in my opinion, in this whole divide we have, is that anytime there's a something... I'm just trying to think of an example. Just the reverse of what he said. If he'd called somebody black boy, it would be headline news. It'd be all over the place.
I still think those two phrases are totally different.
Well,
one has
It's not apples and apples, but I just mean when the tables are turned, you know, some of the language like Chris Brown uses.
Okay, but at the
and that's okay. Or, you know, the way the N-word is thrown around in the black community and... And I think people who aren't that intelligent in the white community go, well, they can say it all they want.
At the same time, what have we heard over the past years? I'm sick of political correctness. And now Bo Bice is upset because he deems this, I would assume, to be politically correct because he's so offended at it. Because they're not politically correct. Look, it was...
Get away from the door, nigga.
It was rude and it was unprofessional. Is it worth him... crying on TV?
I have no idea why he's crying.
To demand, I mean,
I'm not going to.
She got
begin
suspended.
To apologize for Bice crying on television.
He basically why got suspended.
Why he's on TV? Well, he said he didn't want the guy fired. He just it was a girl. Yeah,
I wonder if that's why, because it was a girl.
I put the H on it to emphasize it's nigga.
Oh God, what is? He's calling me, Jesus.
Who is it? Can you answer it live?
Tempted to find out. Ooh. Hello?
He's on the phone.
Yeah, who's calling?
Who are you? Oh, maybe it's Arnold again.
Yeah?
Yeah. Who's this? Who's calling?
Uh-oh. Now it seems to be serious.
Serious.
Oh.
Who's on the phone?
I'm sorry? What? You have a question? I don't understand why. Why are you calling?
Uh-oh. Oh, it is serious. He has vacated the premises. I don't know. Well, good. At least we can stop talking about Bo Bice.
Let me ask you this.
Never in my life did I think I'd wake up this morning giving one shit about Bo Bice.
I haven't heard about him.
And by the time I go to bed, I'm going to be giving zero shits about Bo Bice.
I'm not sure if you guys covered this or not.
He looks bizarre.
On the whole subject of... You know, some of this racial stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Arnold keeps saying, popping off, that he's got that video.
Yeah, which, do you believe that? He's been popping off on his podcast about it, right?
He probably does.
You think why would he have a video of Donald Trump saying, what is he, quote-unquote, worst things?
If he does or if he doesn't. Now, if he does have this video of Donald Trump, the president-elect, soon to be president of the United States of America, and you know,
what's
a year...
What's he saving it?
A year, I don't know why, but a year into the administration, he drops this video. Has Trump gone too far? Has he already survived everything that if a
video
comes out and he's dropping an N-bomb that he's totally fine?
Oh, boy, I don't know. The N-word's a totally different level. You know, so much of this, honestly, in my opinion, is contextual and what you're saying and who you're saying it about, and a word is just a word. That's kind of my problem with Bo Bice. It's the way he by the way, we're only hearing his side of the story and the way he relays it. He's relaying it as she said she was using it to identify as that white boy over there, which, I don't know, if that happened to me, I'd be kind of like, okay, well, sure, whatever. I kind of laugh at it. Yeah. You know, could Trump survive if he just calls somebody the N-word? I think he could survive by now.
I don't think so.
But if he's railing against, you know, the whole race of people and using that word, of course not.
I mean, we've already seen and heard audio of him grabbing chicks by
the pussy?
Yeah, and that, you know, was a big news for a couple days.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, no one really cared.
I gotta tell you, I don't think anybody cares about the Russia thing. Nobody seems to care about any of it. It's just, it's the economy, which is fine. I mean, you people vote for somebody based on whatever reason they want to vote for somebody.
I'm just curious, though, you know, if this does come out, if it's something that could... We've never had a presidential, well, I guess, in this type of
I'm trying to think
where it's a racial...
I know, but we should...
thing, but you have, like, the Watergate tapes and all of that stuff.
Sure, Bill Clinton and, you know...
I was going to say, we did have a president getting a blowjob and it, you know...
Yeah.
But on this, but on a racial level, I mean, what would happen?
Hmm.
You know?
God, I don't, it'd probably last a week.
I don't know.
It would probably go down and last for a week. He's got an amazing way of deflecting things. That's a fair question. Is Tom Arnold ever going to dump this out?
It's Tom Arnold, though, you know.
I know. Why does he want to inject himself in all this?
I don't know.
I think he just spout off and said, hey, I got it, or I seen a tape, or I got a tape, and next thing you know, people legitimately want to go, what's this tape, Arnold? What do you got?
Well, for some reason, he says he's going to drop it when the time is right. But when would the time be right? Wouldn't the time be right prior to the election if he's against him, or just hold on to it if he supports him?
I don't know.
Well, so, who's ever like claimed that they've had a tape on a president, though? I mean, don't you, I'm not saying you get into treason or espionage or something like that, but...
Oh, like blackmail?
It's like a game changer, you know, at that point when you got...
I don't know. We
standing president.
We're in such a different world with Trump.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, tweeting president.
Yeah,
I just can't stop tweeting.
A guy backing Julian Assange and not his 17.
Oh, boy.
What's going on? Everything all right?
Welcome back.
Yeah, everything's okay.
Are we allowed to talk about what happened? Or
not entirely.
Oh,
it's a little complicated.
It sounded like it.
Yeah. I thought it was just a. I thought maybe we had a bit going there, but not quite.
Are you glad you answered, or are you not?
I wish I hadn't answered.
Okay. I kind of figured.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
Whatever.
You want to hear Constantine?
What's Constantine?
Oh.
Is this recent?
Have yourself a merry
it was a while ago.
Little Christmas.
No, he was with about 15 people singing wacky Christmas carols. I think they may have even changed the words.
Why? Oh, was he singing, lick of my, suck of my,
oh, that reminds me.
First, really?
What? I got an email from somebody who said Christmas is ruined, and he sent me a little video of his daughter singing one of the X-Ray Christmas songs.
What? How old?
She's probably three.
Oh, she won't remember. I guess sounds like Christmas was made.
I don't think her mom was too happy.
I was thinking about like Christmases I remember from when I was young, and one Christmas I remembered was when my mom actually said, Christmas is ruined. She actually said that phrase, and we say it now all the time because she said it in all seriousness.
What was the cause?
We were driving down to Toledo. It's where my grandparents live from our house.
Yeah.
And my dad was going a lot fast on the highway.
Uh-oh.
So the cherries turn on. He knows a cop's going to pull him over, so he just gets off the highway at an exit.
Yeah.
Which would have been around Dundee. It would have said M50 down there and just starts driving on M50. Never got pulled over. So in my mind, I'm like,
what?
I think Christmas is saved. He didn't get pulled over.
Wait, you mean he exited to try to get away from the cop?
Yeah, and he got away. And
Wait. How? Okay. Was the cop going in the other direction?
I don't know. You want to call him? I don't know. I'm just telling you, I was probably like nine. And
I mean, did he floor it?
Oh, he was flying. My dad had a lead foot, yeah.
So he, I'm just saying he passed the cop, was at a speed trap or something, and yes. So the cop pulls
and then he got
out.
Up, yeah, and then he just got off at the first exit and disappeared.
You got to be kidding
Christmas.
Me.
It's Christmas. He's
wait.
Like, you know, police chase.
Well, how long ago was this?
I would have been about nine, so I guess
so. Al,
late 80s.
He's got the McDonald's franchises, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he so worried about a speeding ticket?
Because we were late. I don't know. Drew, I don't know. I'm remembering it from being a young person. But anyway.
Did you know you ditched the cops?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I remember that. But then I just remember because we're on, like, M50 heading down to Toledo, a real roundabout way. It's taking forever, so we're really late. My, you know, parents fighting about it. My mom just, Christmas is ruined. To which my brother's like, what?
Really? Was it ruined because you didn't pull over or because
we were
you were late?
Because we were late. Okay.
So she wasn't upset that he ditched the cop?
I don't think so, no.
Did he do any kind of, like, celebrations, like, yes, or anything?
No,
like
I think he was just pissed off in general. I think he's just pissed off at everything.
How fast was he going?
Oh, he used to drive really fast.
I mean, ballpark.
Oh, I don't know.
90?
I don't know. I sit in the back reading a book like a nerd. I don't know.
But you know what lead foot means.
He's going fast. I don't know. I remember he got pulled over.
To get away from a cop, he had to be flying.
Murray got pulled over once in, and he hates the whole state of Iowa because of this. We were heading out west on a family trip. And we had a station wagon, and he got pulled over in Iowa, and his license and everything was in his briefcase, which was attached to the top of the car.
Oh, boy.
And it was pouring rain. He hates the state of Iowa because the cop made him get out and go get it.
Yeah, they'll do that. But why is his license in a briefcase on top of the car?
I don't know. He lost his briefcase because he put it on top of the car once and drove off.
Oh, and it just flew off the car?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he just put it there while he got in the car, you mean?
I got to tell you, that guy, I love my dad with all my heart, but he can be really absent-minded. And here's the frightening thing. I'm turning into him.
Oh!
I was telling Brandon before the show, I left a burner on the other day. And this isn't the first time I've left a burner on the stove. Just on.
How long?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe an hour.
Who discovered it?
Oh, who do you think?
Oh. Charlotte.
No, Julie.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I don't know why. I become really spacey.
Was it a front burner, back burner?
Front, of course.
Front burner? Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So how much lecturing was there?
There was just a strong reminder that I left it on. And I know, you know, she'd be bummed to talk about this. But I know she's mad when she goes, follower! She called me on my list.
Oh, boy.
What? What do you do? What do you say? I know I'm an idiot. I'm absent-minded.
Well, I mean, you feel bad enough yourself. There's no need for excoriation if that took place. I'm not saying it did.
You know about the time when I had the fire, the smoke detector, the smoke alarm's going, right? Did I ever tell you that story?
The smoke alarm?
Yeah. Never told you that story?
Yeah, I think. Sounds familiar. Why was the smoke alarm going off? Was it the hot dogs?
Yeah, the hot dog. I was cooking a hot dog.
You're outside talking to somebody.
Some
the hot
joker
dog
was talking to Julian. I'm like, what does this goofball want? I went out there and he started asking about the neighborhood and long story short, I heard an alarm going off. I went, yeah, neighbors are pretty good, except for that ass. His alarm's going off as we're walking back in. I was like, my hot dog. I jumped in and the whole front floor was full of hot dog smoke.
So it didn't dawn on you until you heard the alarm?
No, I thought the alarm was somebody else's house. It was when I was walking back into the house that, oh, wait, that's our alarm, my hot dog.
Isn't it funny how alarms are generally considered a nuisance, not like something is wrong? Like car alarms, like, who made the stupid car alarm go off? You know,
have your neighbors come?
Who's walked too close to the car? Who hit the car with their hand? You know, it's never that someone's actually stealing the car.
You know, your neighbor Mike is probably really pissed about car alarms.
Oh, yeah. How many times?
Several times.
Well, he just had it again Monday from me.
Yeah.
Were you not aware of that when I was leaving, when Tom and I were walking out? And he goes, Tom's like, hey, that's your, is that your car going off? I'm like, holy shit, it is my car going off.
Oops.
Just the panic button.
Except you don't usually leave that late. Jace went off about 12:30 one night.
One in the morning, two in the morning. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just your keys kind of rolling around in your pocket.
Yeah, you reach for your keys and you accidentally hit the panic button, so your alarm's going off and your neighbor's lights are coming on.
The one time we were upstairs and it was like, oh, whose alarm is it? What a pain in the ass.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. But it's never, oh my God, someone could be stealing a car. That's never what goes through anyone's mind. Uh-huh. It's just another annoying car alarm has been set off accidentally. So do we finish with Bo Bice?
Yeah, we're done with him. He's a baby.
He's a baby, but I'm not going to completely. I don't want to completely leave it there because I do think that seriously believe that the double standard when it comes to this stuff is a real problem. I just think it bothers people.
Those are two different words.
No, I acknowledge it's apples and oranges in terms of black boy or white boy, but I think the way I'm just trying to imagine the way this girl said it, and I can just hear it being sort of, there's your dinner, white boy. But
she wasn't saying it to him, even according to his story.
She was talking about him, right?
Yeah, she says, that's that white boy's over there.
I don't know.
It's weird. It's not professional. It's a bizarre thing to say. But if that was you, and I know you don't go to Popeyes, let's say you go to KFC, and someone says that about you, how do you respond?
I'd be pissed off.
You would?
Yeah, I'd be pissed. Absolutely.
Would you do an interview with Fox 2 about it?
No, I might pop off about it on the podcast. But I would probably feel like, well, there's nothing I can do about it because nobody's going to give a shit.
Oh, well, that's different then.
But I think that's sort of the double standard is, going back to Chris Brown or people like that. I see that term when someone says white, white girl or that white girl or that white boy or whatever.
She's a white girl. Juice.
Frequently, it has a connotation, or just the way it's said. There's just a, I don't know. I'm not explaining this very well, but I do think that there is a double standard with a lot of this stuff, and I think that's what really bothers white people when it comes. Because, if you read about racial issues in this country, 99% of what you read is going to be white cops shooting black people. Black Lives Matter.
That's just what I was going to say, because you mentioned a lot of the shooting stories. When a black cop shoots a white guy or a black cop shoots a black guy, the uproar isn't the same.
How often do you read a story about a black cop shooting a white guy when he shouldn't have shot him? Right. Does anyone care? No, nobody cares. It happens. Of course it happens. That's not to say that those cases weren't good cases. I'm trying to think of another good example. Well, there's just a myriad of them, and I just think people get weary of it. They probably feel, I think there's a certain amount of guilt you feel as, like, you're part of this horrible race that does these horrible things all the time, and the implication is, it's a completely one-sided thing. And then when something like that happens, I think a lot of the response is, sort of what you're saying. Oh, God, get over it.
Well, I think racism and stereotypes are two different things.
In terms, what are you trying to say?
I just think they're different. I don't know. I don't feel. Do you feel guilt over the fact that these stories are covered more when white cops shoot black people?
No. Sometimes you just feel like, oh God, white people are just terrible people.
Some people are just bad people.
When you're talking about slavery or, which is a long, long time ago, that's not to say it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. But, it just seems like a lot of it's coming down on people right now. And it's frustrating. I think most people just feel bad about it. It's just shitty. It sucks.
I think everybody feels bad about slavery. It's not really the best thing.
And when somebody says, white boy, or something like that comes up, I don't think, normally my response is sort of just, yeah, whatever. But it's not whatever when it's turned the other way. And so I just think that...
I don't know. I think it depends on the context in which it was said.
Well, white boy might not be the best example. It could be something, or something could be called a cracker. Nobody gives a fuck. It's like,
no,
who cares?
Not at all.
But Lauren Podell uses the N-word, and being suspended is not enough. The way that whole thing went down. Was that fair? She's suspended by the TV station. It's handled. And then because...
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's so, not, there, it's not Sam Riddle's job to discipline her.
No. But in the one, but on the other hand, yeah, it is. It turns out it is his job. It was his job, and he did. This girl at Popeyes is suspended, which is what's the deal with that? I didn't even know she was suspended.
Yeah, they suspended because of Bo Bice's interview. That's when they replied.
How long is she suspended for? Did they say?
Who knows?
Anyway,
hopefully longer than Grayson Allen.
And you know, he actually said, which I thought was, you know, for all his behavior, which is a little ridiculous. He said he didn't want anyone to be fired, which, you know, I like his spirit in that regard. Whereas, you know, with Sam Riddle, she must be fired. She must never work again, ever. And you know what? She may never work again. She may never have a job. Is that fair? I mean, that's insane. She can never work again. Just like the girl in Pittsburgh who did something similar. I'm trying to think. What she did was stupid, this girl in Pittsburgh. But she'd been on the air 18 years. Was, I believe, I think she was part of the number one news team, you know, for the big demos or, you know, 6 and 11 or whatever times that matter. And she said something stupid, and she's fired, and she'd won a bunch of Emmys, and she was a hotshot anchor. And apparently she has been unhirable, and I believe she's been out of work for 3 years. So, done. History. Who's going to touch her? Because if you hire her, you know, actually that leads into a good conversation, which I want to get into in part two, which is sort of along the same lines. It's not really the same conversation, but it's sort of about guilt by association. Among many other things, it's funny, there's not any really dynamite topics going on right now, but there's a lot of little things. Did you have anything besides, you know, I know that was that stuff caught in people's rectums, which
that was a blast.
We spent 3 days sitting on, which was a complete disaster on a story like that.
The new list is what people did to their penises.
Didn't you have a couple other things you wanted to get into?
There's a lot of them. I mean, the Megyn Kelly news is kind of big, right?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that also.
Lester Holt is worried. I keep telling you.
What's up with Lester Holt? Lester Holt's worried about losing the anchor
That was
gig?
The tabloid story. Everybody's over there is really worried. But you know who's worried the most?
Who?
Savannah Guthrie.
I might be a little worried, except I don't think Katie's interested in the job.
Oh, she's worried about Megyn Kelly taking the
position. Of course, Megyn Kelly. Wow, they're circling the wagons over there, aren't they?
There's some other good tabloid stories. There's one about Prince Charles.
I would say Katie Couric, in my opinion, if she wanted that job, I'd hire her back in a second.
Oh, yeah. Would she want that job?
I don't think so. I think she's fantastic.
There's a story about Heather Locklear, Zsa Zsa.
What's up with Heather Locklear?
She's in rehab.
For alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a problem. I don't know. You know, it's weird. Heather Locklear didn't she seem like she really had it together and everything was fine?
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, about 5 years ago, she's in trouble left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like a strange time for somebody to suddenly sort of lose control.
This is the fifth time she's been in rehab.
But I don't think she was ever in rehab in the first 45 years of her life, was she?
Well, maybe it was the Sambora. Who was he with? Was he with Pam Anderson? No, who did Sambora?
No, wasn't he with Charlie Sheen's ex? Denise Richards, maybe?
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, but her and Sambora. Was it her and Sambora that split?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sent her on the downward spiral, right?
Seemed like it. And she's,
or was it with Tommy Lee? Because she was married to Tommy Lee, and then
that was before.
Yeah, before
she's got to be. There's got to be a little bit of a wild side to her from day one. If she married Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. And then Sambora. I mean, clearly she's a rocker chick, which is great. I mean, I love it.
Washed up sex pot. Heather Locklear checked into rehab after suffering a massive breakdown over the holidays. Quote: When she came in, she was drunk and on pills, crying and screaming. A source at Cliffside Malibu Rehab Center. Who's this source at the rehab center?
I know, what an asshole.
She had to be helped because she was so fucked up, said the source.
What?
Staffers immediately put the 80s pin up and detox, said the source.
Oh, boy.
Quote, she's on alcohol and benzos. She's in a private house with two other people, tattled the source. The only time she comes out is to see the doctor. She's 55.
She's probably getting jealous of her 19-year-old daughter who's smoking hot.
Very.
Well, you know, that
you know,
that
took, you know, took the photos of her, right?
What photo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
the sexy model photos of Sambora. Yeah. The girls. Joe Simpson.
Simpson.
Joe Simpson.
Remember we found out that Joe Simpson was a photographer? Okay. It was because he was taking pictures of Sambora.
How ridiculous.
She checked into rehab for the first time in 2008 after a bender of prescription drugs and alcohol that year. Heather was also charged with driving under the influence of prescription drugs. Landed back in rehab in 2010 and in 2012. Her sister called 911 from Heather's home. She was admitted to a psych ward treated for, quote, intense stomach pain.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, one thing going on with her is at 50, well, this is 2008, she would have been 47 years old. That's a pretty, that gets to be a tricky time for somebody who's known for being hot, for being the hottest chick on the block, and all of a sudden, you know, the wrinkles are a little deeper, boobs are a little saggier.
Sam Boris looking around.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I really sympathize with women who are so reliant on their looks for their success, and it's got to be a hell of a thing. I mean, crossing that bridge, some more than others. I mean, some chicks are really cool. They get it. They're not, while they may have relied on their looks, they care about other things. They're not obsessed with it, and they, you know, they age comfortably. The ones that kind of scare me are the ones like Madonna, who want to still.
Oh yeah,
they want everyone to think they're the hottest chick on the block at 55 or 60, and they want to dress like they're 19. It's like, you know, that's just embarrassing, I think.
Well, there she is. You said 2008 was her.
She
bender.
Looks pretty fucking good there.
She's doing Flirting with 40, so right there is where she's on the verge of a bender.
What's that? How old is she there?
That was from 2008. So
she looks fantastic. I think she still looks great.
Yeah.
But, you know, for somebody who has that kind of pressure. But then, you know, she did have relationships were falling apart, so.
Yeah, the mid-2007 is when the divorce was finalized from Sambora.
I like her. I think she's, I just thought she was kind of a cool chick. Cool chick with a hot ass.
Hot ass.
And she's a rocker! You got to give her that. So that sucks.
Except she's dating a plastic surgeon now.
You know, that's the guy. She's been with that guy before. I think they've been back and forth. And about a year and a half ago, maybe, I know we talked about this, he busted her for talking to Tommy Lee.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was talking to Tommy Lee, and she had pulled out some old pictures of her and Tommy Lee, and she posted them on her Facebook page. And the guy, like, dumped her on the spot. He flipped out and dumped her.
Wow. Just for talking to Tommy Lee?
I guess so. Well, it might have been, I don't know, there was something a little untoward about it in his eyes, obviously. But it was no secret if she put pictures on her Facebook page. I don't think she was keeping a big secret. But it was enough to upset this guy to the point that he went ta-ta, but maybe they're back together. It was kind of weird, though. It's just strange that she'd be talking to Tommy Lee, in a way.
She also dated another musician who I wouldn't claim is a rocker, but Dr. Peter Burns from Melrose.
Oh, yeah. Jack yeah, Wagner. She did for a while. Oh, he is so not a rocker. Oh, my God.
Hey, he had a number one hit.
Yeah. He did. You're All I Need?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that sappy song.
Good job, Dr. Peter Burns.
What is that stupid song from? Is that from the Luke and Laura days on General Hospital?
General Hospital, yes.
Was it a movie soundtrack?
He was on General Hospital.
Yeah, he was. That's right. Okay, so part two is coming up. Get ready, part two people. We'll see ya.